It's Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, military drama. Later on, we hear a story from Arch Obler on the AFRA workshop. But right now, it's the Screen Guild Theater with an all-star cast, all reprising their roles from the 1948 motion picture Command Decision from March 3rd, 1949 on NBC.
From Hollywood, the Screen Guild players transcribe Red Book Magazine's 10th anniversary award picture with the greatest cast in radio history. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a truly great story and a cast that will make radio history. The players:
Clark Gable, Walter Pidgeon, Van Johnson, Brian Donlevy, John Hodiak, and Edward Arnold. The story: Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Command Decision.
Pilot to Bombardier. Your ship, Bombardier to pilot. Roger. Manned at 2 o'clock low. Except doubles, 12 o'clock high.
Watch you.
Bombardier to crew. Bombay doors open. B-17 going down at 3 o'clock.
Waste the pilot. Kelly's hit.
On the way.
Brother, look at that flash. Manned at 9 o'clock high.
Bombay doors closed.
4 at doubles, 10 o'clock.
All right, let's go home. I got a date tonight.
Me? I flew 28 of those clam bakes, and then I got some sense. I settled down for a worm's eye view of things. Pretty important worm, too. Emmanuel T. Evans, Sergeant First Class, aide to Brigadier General K.C. Dennis. Sounds easy, huh? Both feet on the ground? Yeah, both feet on the ground. And both eyes in the sky, waiting for the others to come back. And brother, we were waiting that afternoon. With General Kane away, my boss was in command. And 2 days in a row, he'd mounted what they called a maximum effort. Every ship we could put in the air was somewhere over Germany that very minute. And believe me, we were sweating them out.
Afternoon, Evans.
Afternoon, General Dennis.
Got the final figures on yesterday's losses?
Yes, sir. We lost 48 ships. I guess that's the biggest one day's loss we've had.
Sergeant, I only asked for the figures.
Yes, sir.
What else?
Message from General Kane. It just came in, sir.
Read it.
Military Affairs Committee arrived England this morning. Will visit your command. Imperative their impressions favorable. Request special effort to maintain low loss average during critical 3 days next. Signed, Malloway for Kane.
Okay. What else?
Well, Captain Jenks is waiting outside. You ordered him here at 1600, sir.
Strike signal, sir. Relay message from Colonel Martin.
What is it, George?
Target plastered. Warm up here. Signed, Tet. Sir, I'll bet it is warm up there.
I bet it's pretty warm in Schweinhofen, too. Okay, Sergeant. I'll see Captain Jenks now.
Captain Jenks reporting to General Dennis.
Jenks, I've got a pretty nasty report on you here. I understand that when the target was announced this morning, you slammed out of the briefing and said you wouldn't fly the mission. What's your version of it?
I suppose it's true as far as it goes.
Jenks, do you realize this is serious?
I'm not going to get killed to make you a record.
Your uncle is Congressman Malcolm, isn't he? On the Military Affairs Committee. Could that have something to do with your behavior?
Sure it has. It's a break to have somebody looking out for me.
Suppose the boys in your squadron heard you say that.
They feel the same way.
They went this morning.
Sure. And Johnson and Robinson both went yesterday. They both went and they didn't come back.
Then, sir. General Kane and party, sir.
Hello, Casey. We just landed at Prestwick and... Why, Captain Jenks, delighted to see you, my boy.
Thank you, sir.
I was talking to your uncle in Washington on Monday. The congressman is looking forward to seeing you when he gets here with the committee.
I'll be glad to see him, sir.
All right, Jenks.
Yes, sir.
Casey, what have you been doing? You gave me the shock of my life last night. They told me you'd lost 48 ships in one day.
That's right, sir. 48.
Casey, I just finished selling the combined chiefs in Washington on the low cost of daylight bombardment, and you spring these appalling losses on me. Surely you must know that...
Mind if I barge in?
Cliff! Cliff Garnett!
Casey, I forgot to tell you. Cliff flew over with the personal reconnaissance for the chief.
How are you, Casey? How's Ted?
Keeping busy.
Sis gave me a lot of messages for him.
How is Helen?
Getting impatient. I ought to know any minute now whether I'm going to be an aunt or an uncle.
Colonel Dennis speaking. Yes, George. I see. Yes, another maximum effort tomorrow. Right.
What was that, Casey? Another maximum? Where'd they go today?
Schweinhofen, sir.
Schweinhofen? And yesterday?
Yesterday's target was Posenleben, sir.
Casey, you haven't started Operation Stitch.
The second phase is on today, sir.
Casey, this is awful. Homer!
Yes, sir?
Homer, I don't want that congressional committee here today. Call London and have their itinerary changed and keep them away from here till day after tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Casey, this may pull down the work of 20 years. All right, let's have it.
The weather conferences gave us a clear break for 4 days running. Possibly our last chance to do the job. So I laid on Stitch.
You took advantage of my absence. You knew I never intended to implement Stitch at this time.
It was my decision to make, sir. And I made it.
At the risk of upsetting the larger picture?
Larger than what, sir? The outcome of the war?
Gentlemen, may an ignorant visitor ask what this Operation Stitch is all about?
You tell him, Casey.
Cliff, you've heard about that new German fighter, the Lance Wolf 1?
That miracle jet job they're supposed to have?
They've got them. We captured one 6 weeks ago.
Have you tested it?
Thoroughly. Speed, altitude, it's almost double anything we've got. If Goering can get enough of them, he'll knock us out of the sky in 60 days. And then a ground invasion would be just a pipe dream.
We thought those jet jobs were still on the drawing board. Where are they making them, Casey?
They've got three factories. At least they had three until yesterday. Posenleben, Schweinhofen, and Fendelhorst. There it is, Cliff. Operation Stitch for Stitch in Time.
But, Casey, if you just waited till that Washington meeting had given us our allocations...
We'd have lost our weather, sir. And that's everything. Unless we finish the job now, the men and planes we've lost so far will have been lost for nothing.
Listen.
They're back. Come on, let's get out there and look for Ted.
Ted! Ted Martin!
Hi, Casey.
What's been keeping you?
Should have stayed out there. I hear my brother-in-law's at the base. Did he bring any news of Helen?
Well, you're not a father yet, but Cliff says she's fine. And you're invited to dinner tonight. My quarters.
Swell. Say, Goldberg.
Yes, sir.
As soon as you find that, bring it right over. I'll be with General Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Goldberg. When are you going to retire?
Guess I should have retired yesterday. Excuse me, sir.
What's the matter with Goldberg? Think he's had too much?
Maybe.
I guess you all have. It's no fun, Ted, sweating you out 2 days in a row.
Our loss is pretty high again today.
48 ships yesterday and 52 today. The only good part about it is we're two-thirds done.
That's the joker, Casey. We're not two-thirds done.
What do you mean? You did Posenleben yesterday and Schweinhofen today.
Casey, we didn't touch Schweinhofen today. But...
You signaled me. How did it happen?
Sighting mistake. My fault, I guess.
How do you know it wasn't Schweinhofen?
We saw it on our way back, sitting there without a scratch. We'll take care of that tomorrow.
If they let us.
Who?
General Kane and Cliff.
But don't tell them, Casey. Don't let them know we muffed. If we polish Schweinhofen off tomorrow, they'll have to let us finish the job.
Ted, we're not stunt flyers at a state fair. Kane is our chief. We have to tell him. You get along to interrogation. I'll see you at dinner.
Well, Cliff, go ahead and give Casey an appetite for dinner. Tell him what you've got for him.
Good news, Casey. While we were on the phone with Washington, I had a very constructive talk with Lester Blender. I think I sold him on letting you finish Operation Stitch as soon as the Washington meetings are over. Now, if you'll just hold it until Tuesday...
Who'll hold the weather?
Now, Casey, you've got to be reasonable. I'm surprised that Cliff got as much as he did. Lester was simply shocked by your losses, but when Cliff explained that you were two-thirds done...
Colonel Martin, I got the... Oh, excuse me, sir.
That's all right, Goldberg.
Are those today's strike photos?
Yes, sir.
I'll take those, please. Cliff, look at these, will you? Look at what we've done to Schweinhofen, huh?
It isn't Schweinhofen, sir.
How's that?
It isn't Schweinhofen.
But, Casey, you told me. You let me tell Washington you destroyed Schweinhofen.
It was a mistake.
Whose mistake?
Mine, sir. The briefing.
The briefing was perfect. I led the division and I loused it up.
Sir, these gentlemen are covering for me. I was well briefed and I was on the bomb site. I just got mixed up.
Well, why did you get mixed up? Were you scared?
Yes, sir. I'm always scared.
General Kane, Lieutenant Goldberg is on the fourth mission of a voluntary second tour of duty over German targets only.
That boy's not my group bombardier by accident. He hit what we both thought was the target today, and we'll both hit the right one tomorrow, sir.
Tomorrow?
Back to Schweinhofen tomorrow, and Fendelhorst the next day. Sir, if we don't finish Operation Stitch now...
General Kane, there's been a slip-up. That congressional committee...
Homer, don't tell me that they're coming here.
They are here, sir. They just came through the gate.
Find out who disobeyed my orders. This is one slip-up that won't get by. Casey, you heard me say explicitly.
General Dennis. George? Yes, I think it's going to be Schweinhofen.
Casey!
I'll call you back, George.
Casey, are you out of your mind? With that committee here, I can't let them stand out there tomorrow watching the sort of thing we saw today.
General Kane.
I'm sorry, we'll have to make it a milk run. Pick the safest target we can find.
But, sir...
And no arguments, Casey. That's an order.
What a dinner we had that night. Or I should say, what a dinner we didn't have. Anytime a congressman sits down to eat, an army man hasn't got a chance. But the only one I really minded was Malcolm. He was the loudest one of the lot. The trouble was, I had to stay and listen. But General Dennis didn't. He got up and walked out. And General Kane went right out after him like a bird dog.
Now, look here, Casey. We've got to be careful. Malcolm is a troublemaker. He could... Yes, Homer?
Congressman Malcolm is anxious to see his nephew, sir. Could we ask Captain Jenks over here now?
Of course. Get him over here as fast as you can.
Yes, sir.
Casey, I must be losing my grip. I forgot all about that famous nephew.
I didn't, sir.
Hasn't Jenks got another decoration coming up? Maybe I should present it personally sometime tomorrow in Malcolm's presence.
I'm afraid that may be difficult, sir. Captain Jenks is in rather serious trouble.
Trouble? Young Jenks?
He flatly refused to fly this morning's mission. I've confined him to quarters pending further action.
Casey, are you... Why, Malcolm would never forgive the Air Force. Casey, we've got to think of something.
I know one way, sir.
What?
If Jenks had been acting under special orders from me, he'd have been justified in refusing to fly the mission.
Exactly. Exactly, my boy. But, Casey, why must you do everything the hard way? Now, come on, get him over here.
Yes, sir. As soon as I've ordered Schweinhofen for tomorrow.
This is blackmail.
For the good of the service, sir.
Ingenious, Casey. But you've got your orders.
Then at midnight tonight, I charge Captain Jenks with desertion in the face of the enemy.
How many years have you known me? Have you ever seen anyone get away with blackmailing me?
No, sir.
Just so you don't get the wrong idea.
Does that mean you're releasing the division to me, sir?
You're a scoundrel, Casey. You'll probably get us all hanged in the end, but go ahead and name your own target for tomorrow. I'll inform my headquarters.
That was another one of those nights, the kind you don't forget. The crew's routed out at 3 o'clock. Sleepy, tired, trying to joke. Then a shot of hot coffee and then in for briefing. And after that, nobody laughs. The gas tanks filled, the bomb bays loaded, and then the rocket gun for the start. One by one, the big ships sliding into the air, making formation over the field, and then turning east, heading into the sun that's just coming up, getting smaller and smaller till they disappeared, till they're gone and there's nothing left to do but wait. Yeah, we waited all right. We sweated it out until...
General Dennis.
What is it, George? Got word from Ted?
No, sir. From the other direction. Cable from the States. Mrs. Martin's had a boy.
A boy? Ted's got a son. George, be sure and relay that message to him.
Yes, sir. When we hear from him.
If anything comes through, I'll be in the war room. We're having a meeting.
A meeting?
Malcolm's been huddling with his nephew all morning. Looks like dirty weather ahead.
Gentlemen, it's a truly inspiring thing for our committee to come over here and see the American flag waving and to be privileged to see our gallant boys flying into the battle. And we appreciate the fact that you have your problems. Howsoever, I'd like to ask General Dennis a few questions, if I may.
I'll answer anything I can, Mr. Malcolm.
Now, you explained a while ago that our bombers could only go just so far and still depend on the protection of our fighter planes. But I think you also said that for the third day in succession, your bombers have deliberately been sent far beyond that limit.
That's correct.
In other words, about half your strength and the lives of 1,000 boys have been lost in 2 days. We still don't know about today. And this has been entirely your decision?
It has.
On nothing but your own authority?
Yes.
Well, General Dennis, doesn't it seem to you that our boys are paying a pretty bloody price for your record?
Mr. Malcolm, they're paying a bloody price for the country's record. Or more precisely, some of the country's elected representatives.
May I ask how?
Congressman, how did you vote on appropriations for the Air Force in 1938?
By golly, he's got you, Arthur.
Well, we'll see who's got who. General Kane, I'm warning you right here and now. One more murderous attack like this...
Excuse me, Mr. Malcolm. I don't like to interrupt this discussion, but if we're going to have that ceremony...
Ceremony?
The citation for Captain Lucius Jenks. It's scheduled for 1200.
Oh, that. Well, I guess we all have to stick to the timetable, don't we? Well, whenever you're ready, General Kane.
5 minutes, sir, in General Dennis' quarters. Come along, Casey. Now listen, Casey. This is bigger than friendship. You heard him warn me. Well, I'm warning you. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Very well, then. Now get Captain Jenks over here at once.
Sir?
Yes, Evans.
Excuse me, sir, but Captain Jenks is here already. He's waiting outside.
He is? Who sent for him?
I did, sir, when you started telling that servant of the people where to get off.
You're very efficient, Evans. I appreciate it.
Well, sir, I'd hate breaking in a new general.
Well, look here, real American drinking whiskey. General Kane, I want to say that... you're going to take pictures, eh?
For the record, Mr. Malcolm.
Lucius, my boy, this is the proudest moment of my life. I want to say to you...
Excuse me, would the gentleman from Congress like to put down his glass before they take the pictures?
Yes, of course. Sergeant, you're going a long way in life.
You ready, General Kane?
Yes, Casey, I think so.
General Dennis, sir.
Come in, George. Anything?
Relay message from Colonel Martin, sir.
Let's have it. No mistake this time. Scratch Schweinhoffen for me.
Casey! He got it! Gentlemen, a drink to Ted Martin, the greatest combat leader in the Army Air Forces.
And a drink to Ted Martin's new son. Homer, I want a feature story on this. Casey, what's the matter? What is it, Casey?
There was more than a message.
What? What does it say?
Cliff, you read it.
Good luck, Casey. We're on fire and going...
Going? Well, finish the message, can't you?
That's all there is.
What's it mean?
It's from my ship, Uncle.
You mean that Colonel Martin... That same fine young officer I had dinner with last night?
Shut up.
You mean to tell me that he...
Shut up!
You're telling me to shut up when you're the one who's responsible.
Uncle Arthur, shut up!
I'm going to my quarters.
But Lucius, your medal...
They can keep their medal.
Gentlemen, I'm afraid I must ask you to excuse me. It's time to start planning tomorrow's mission.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Casey?
Yes, sir.
I know you've had a lot to unstring you. I'm sorry. What target were you thinking of for tomorrow?
Pendlehurst. We've got one more day to finish Operation Stitch.
No matter what it costs?
You know the answer to that, sir.
Casey, you leave me no alternative. I'm relieving you of your command with immediate effect.
evening, Sergeant.
Good evening, General Garnett.
Anything from General Kane?
Not yet, sir.
What's all that racket out there?
Oh, they're from the 32nd, sir. I'll get rid of them. Good evening, sir.
Hello, Evans.
Oh, Rockton, come in. Seems we're having a little serenade.
It's a very special night, sir. They're all veterans. They know they can fly a milk run tomorrow sound asleep.
Does the division just assume it'll be a milk run?
I'm not assuming, sir. I came in to ask.
How long does General Kane usually wait to give us the target?
Well, it depends on the target, sir. But if we had no word from General Kane by 1900, the choice of the target will be up to you.
Thank you, Major.
Yes, sir.
Here's your coffee, sir.
I didn't order any coffee.
You will, sir.
You're very thoughtful, Evans. What else will I need?
A new sergeant, sir. I've decided to go back to Nevada.
You've decided? What do you think this army is?
I'd rather not answer that, sir.
Tell me something, Evans. Would it be too much to ask these boys for a tough one tomorrow?
I don't know, sir.
You must know from your own experience.
I never had this experience, sir. Nobody in the army ever asked me anything. They just told me.
Cliff.
Oh, Casey, come in.
Oh, glad you're here, Evans. I want to say goodbye. I'm going to miss you.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me.
You leaving now, Casey? What's all the rush?
The order said with immediate effect. I'm taking Ted's personal things to Helen.
Any idea what they'll do with you?
Oh, I guess I still rate a training command. I wouldn't mind that.
Message from General Kane, sir.
Read it.
General Kane compelled to attend dinner for Congressman London. Choice of tomorrow's target will be responsibility of senior division commander. General Kane desires express confidence in General Garnett's discretion based on weather. Signed, Malloway for Kane.
Thank you, Rockton.
Yes, sir.
I see the old man's getting you off on the right foot, Cliff.
Discretion. Casey, is that his private word for passing the buck? What am I going to do?
The weather's still good. You got a lot of places to pick from, Cliff.
Yeah. You know, most of the 32nd got drunk tonight, figuring on a soft touch for tomorrow. I could see them from the window here. Bunch of nice, attractive kids.
They're all nice, attractive kids. You can only hope that you won't have to kill them.
Casey, what's happened to you?
The same thing that's going to happen to you. And I better go so you can get to work.
Casey, wait a minute. If you'll help me just this once...
It isn't just this once. It's from now on.
Look, when you first came over, you had someone to talk to. Well, at least you had Ted.
Yeah. Yeah, I had Ted. That's one thing I've done for you, Cliff. I've killed Ted. You won't have to do that.
Casey, if you were still sitting behind this desk, what would you do?
There's only one thing you can do, Cliff. Make every one of those attractive kids count. See that they're not used up for nothing. Maybe you can keep their kid brothers from coming over here.
Operation standing by for orders, sir. Have you selected the target?
I think so, Rockton. Notify all groups that tomorrow's target will be... Fendelhorst.
Yes, sir.
Cliff, you're going to finish Operation Stitch.
No. Those attractive young kids are going to finish it, Casey. They're going to finish it for you.
General, good luck.
Thank you, Clark Gable, Walter Pigeon, Van Johnson, Brian Donlevy, John Hodiak, Edward Arnold, and Richard Quine for a magnificent story, magnificently told.
The Screen Guild Theater, on Tuned 2 yesterday from March 3rd, 1949 on NBC. The story, based on the film of the same name, was actually first a Broadway play, opening in October of 1947 and running for 409 performances. And that actual radio broadcast marked the first for NBC. According to Daily Variety magazine, it was NBC's first pre-recorded program. The network to first step out in that arena was ABC, giving in to star Bing Crosby's requests to pre-record his program, a practice practically unheard of before that time. It's an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levionier. And now the AFRA, or American Federation of Radio Artists, Refresher Course Workshop of the Air. This from November 8th, 1946, a relatively rare recording with the story Night Flight by Art Obler.
The AFRA Refresher Course Workshop of the Air. This series of programs is presented by members of the student body of the AFRA Refresher Course. This course is sponsored by the Los Angeles Local, American Federation of Radio Artists, and is available only to veterans who have had a minimum of 2 years of commercial radio or the equivalent while serving in the armed forces. Today's play is Night Flight by Arch Obler, directed by Bob McGinnis, with Bob Hamilton at the organ. The scene, a flat top. An American aircraft carrier somewhere in the South Pacific. The time, a little after sunset, not very long ago.
Well, Commander?
Nothing. No word.
Who is it?
Lieutenant Webster. Fighter Squadron 3.
Anyone see him go down?
No, sir. Samuelson saw him get a zero, and then the dogfight spread over so large an area, he lost contact.
Those infernal clouds.
Any radio contact, Mr. Reynolds?
No, sir.
Well, I can't risk holding the ship here much longer. I can't.
Yes, sir.
Well, if I only knew where that infernal Jap task force was, we could wait around until morning and maybe...
He's on, sir. We made contact.
Well, switch on the speaker.
Yes, sir.
Come in, Webster. Come in, Webster. Do you hear me? Come in, Webster.
We had him a minute ago.
Webster to CO. Webster to CO.
We've got him, sir.
Are you there, sir? Are you there, sir?
Give me that hand mic.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Webster. Hello, Webster. Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I hear you.
Can you see us? Can you see us?
No, sir, I can't. Can you give me your approximate position in relation to battle zone? Most of instrument board is shot away. Can you give me approximate position in relation to battle zone?
Sorry, Webster, we cannot give you bearing due to Tojo. We cannot give you bearing due to Tojo.
I understand, sir. I'll keep circling. Visibility now practically zero. Visibility now practically zero. I'll keep circling.
Ask him about his gas supply, sir.
Yes. Webster, how's the gas? How's the gas?
On auxiliary. On auxiliary. I'll keep circling. How did the boys do? How did the boys do?
Three transports, a cruiser, and 15 zeros. You got one confirmed. All the boys got back, Webster. All the boys got back.
Oh, that's great. That's great, sir. I'd like to be in there myself. It's black as hell here, and I can't seem to get under it. I'll keep circling. I'll keep circling.
Commander.
Yes, Captain?
I can't wait around here much longer.
Let's give him a few minutes longer.
Oh, yes. I could only hear that motor.
Sir.
We could only... Yes.
Message from flagship.
Thank you.
I'm still looking for you, sir. Any chance of shooting off a couple of very lights? Any chance of shooting off a couple of very lights?
Stand by, Webster. Stand by. I'll be with you in a minute.
Yes, sir. Still circling. Still circling.
Commander.
Yes, sir?
Message. Flagship. Admiral orders us to proceed to rendezvous point.
Oh.
And we're to stop all radio transmission at once.
Is that an order, sir?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Full speed ahead.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hello, Webster? Hello, Webster? Can you hear me? Webster, can you hear me?
Yes, Captain, I hear you. I hear you. Can you shoot off those rockets now? How about those rockets? The radio transmitter is very strong now. I must be very close to you. Can you shoot off those rockets now?
Webster, listen. Tojo is in vicinity. My orders are to cease radio transmission at once. My orders are to cease radio transmission at once. Did you hear that, Webster? Did you hear that, Webster?
Yes, sir. Message received, Captain. Message received.
Captain, may I?
Of course. Lieutenant Webster, Commander Gorham wants to talk to you.
Hello, Lieutenant. Hello, Lieutenant. How is your gas? How is your gas?
About 20 minutes left, sir. About 20 minutes, sir.
You should be approximately 463 miles northwest of Henderson Field. You should be approximately 463 miles northwest of Henderson...
Thank you, sir. I am stopping transmission now. Good luck to all of you. Good luck.
Thank you, Ed. Good luck.
He said 463 miles to Henderson Field. Oh. How much gas have I got? Enough for 100. 100 from 463 leaves. No. Gotta get up high. That's it. High. Hi, hi. The old man sounded as if he was crying. I said, good luck. Good luck. What did I say that for?
Luck, luck, luck.
Why am I thinking that?
Luck, luck, luck.
What's luck? Why do I keep thinking...
Luck, luck, luck.
Luck, luck, luck. Look at these cards. I've got the luck of a one-armed paper hanger with the hives.
Well, good thing you have corny metaphors and player cards.
Will you listen to who's talking? Eddie the Shark.
Yeah, Ed. How much money did you make on that hand yesterday? How much?
Gross or net?
What do you mean?
Yeah, what's the double talk?
Well, gross, I made $18.75 on the hand, but net, after Terry's $5 loan and $3.60 of IOUs from Slim here, I made a net profit of $10.
Okay, Mr. Webster, and on that 10, I bet you 2-1 we don't have any action for 7 days, inclusive.
That's a bet. How's about that, guys?
Where did you get the information, Slim?
Matsumoko's got a direct wire into his bunk.
2-1, it's Mrs. Matsumoto.
hey, that's us.
Get going.
Pilots to battle stations. Pilots to battle stations.
Hey, Ed,
pilots,
you win the bet. What luck. What luck. What luck.
Luck. Luck. Luck.
Luck, luck. Stop thinking about it. High as you'll go, lady. High as you'll go. But easy, lady. Easy. $463 to Henderson. Gotta save your strength. Got to save your strength. Those notes. Why do I remember them now?
Edward, don't you think it's about time you left that piano for a moment and came down and had something to eat?
No, thanks, Mother. I'm not hungry.
Now, Edward, you know I'm in complete sympathy with your work. But I'm sure not even Mr. Beethoven sat at a piano continuously for 12 hours playing 5 notes over and over again.
Mother, what's wrong with me? It has nothing to do with the fact I can't put a nocturne together.
Then what is it? You don't feel well?
Yes, I've got the no passeron blues.
What?
Yesterday's newspaper, Mother. Read it.
Edward, you know I read the newspapers.
No passerons. But they did.
Edward Webster, would you please tell me what those words, no passeron, mean? And what you're talking about?
They shall not pass. That was the rallying cry of the people of Madrid.
Oh.
Well, the fascists, as of yesterday, have passed. And Madrid means a gateway is open for the gangsters to the rest of the world.
Edward.
Oh, I know, Mother, I know. It's most unbecoming for an artist to get too blamed. What's that word that always makes you shudder? Yes, socially conscious.
You're a composer, not a politician.
Of course, of course. All that happens in the world is ephemeral, but art alone is eternal. So I'll go on with this nocturne and the hell with Madrid. But if you don't mind, I'd rather not eat. Thinking of that. Quite enough. All right, lady. A little higher. A little higher. Rest of the way will all be downhill, so let's get high. Got to get high.
Higher, higher. Step up, ladies and gentlemen, and ride 'em high. Ride 'em high. Yes, sir.
Oh,
ride
words.
'em higher.
What?
Higher.
Oh, yes. I remember.
Ferris wheel this side of the Mississippi. Step up, boys and girls, and ride 'em high.
Shall we?
If you want to.
I do. You don't mind going up so high, do you?
Of course not. 2 admissions, please.
2? Yes, sir. There you are. A nice special seat waiting for you.
Help you?
No, I can make it.
Pull the safety bar tight. Huh? There you are. Now have fun and don't stand up.
Oh, not a chance.
Whee.
Yeah.
Higher, higher, and higher. That Barker wasn't fooling.
Oh, really? This is the last thing in the world I should have thought you would enjoy.
Speak for yourself, John.
What do you mean?
Imagine next month's Vogue with a picture of Edward Webster, promising young composer of etudes, sonatas, preludes, and nocturnes, Ferris wheeling on a Friday afternoon. Now I understand why you brought me to this carnival. What are you going to compose, a ballet du carnaval?
Well, if I'm going to call it anything, it'll have to be called Ballet du Boot Camp.
What are you talking about?
Linda, a week from today, I'm joining the Air Corps, Navy.
Now, Edward.
It's a fact.
I always wondered how you composed those involved little waltzes of yours. Now I know. You start drinking in the morning.
Oh, no. I've told you the simple truth. I've enlisted in the Navy. Take it or don't take it.
Edward, you didn't.
I did.
But you, of all people, why?
I just wanted to.
But we're not at war.
Yet.
But we're not at war. And even if we were, what have you to do with it? You're a musician, a composer, not a sailor.
You mean flyer.
You really did enlist?
Yes.
Then you're a fool. A sentimental fool. You certainly, of all people, have nothing to do with anything but your music. Edward, you won't do it.
Week from today.
And your mother?
I'm meeting her at the concert tonight. I'll tell her then.
Well, then it's all right. Your mother certainly has her feet on the ground. She won't let you do it. I know that.
Higher, higher, ride it higher. The Ferris wheel of the ages. Higher, higher, ride it higher, higher, higher. higher, higher, right up higher, higher, right up higher.
No! Oh, what's the matter with me? What's the good of thinking about those days? One thing to think about. 463 miles to... No, think about nothing. Just ride. Who said that?
Composer of moonbeams.
Yes, Bergman. Oh, Bergman, I do remember.
Composer of moonbeams. Composer of moonbeams. Composer of moonbeams. Yes, my young friend, that you will be. But no more.
Well, I'm afraid I don't follow you, sir.
At this university, I've been teaching everything from the rudiments of music to counterpoint to advanced studies in chromatic harmony and modulations and figuration and composition to more young men and women than I care to think about. All right. And what have I learned? Oh, just this. That the people who study with me are divided into four classes. First, the athletes who take my courses to sleep soundly. Second, the students who study for the sake of credits. Third, the students who are really interested in music, for music itself. And fourth, in the final category, a few who have had real musical ability. You, Mr. Webster, are one of those.
Thank you.
No, do not thank me so quickly. The final category is also divided into classes. First, those with genius. Unfortunately, in all my years, I have not had the privilege of teaching such a person. Second, there are those with what I call full ability. He will write music that has not greatness, but quality, meaningfulness. But among those with this full ability, there are such as you, who write what I called before the moonbeam music. This may be very lovely music, but it is never music which will lift men's souls in times of need, awaken them to a greater, fuller life. It is music which small salon groups will play. Poets may put words to it, and lovely, full-bosomed ladies will sing it on concert stages to the accompaniment of the harp. I like you, Mr. Webster, but you will be, I am afraid, only one of my moonbeam composers. Moonbeam composers.
Moonbeams now, Professor. And soon you can play it on a harp. No, take it easy, lady. We got time. Not much, but we've got time. About 10 minutes of time. We're not going to miss Henderson by much, are we, lady? Only by about 350 miles. What's 350 miles to a lady like you? Haven't they told you? You've both the continents together. Oh, but Henderson feels too far. Even for you.
No! Oh.
I thought... Oh, don't do that to me, lady. You still got gas. A little. Keep going, lady. Keep going. I'll sing to you, lady. Remember when they first gave you to me? I was afraid of you. You packed more horsepower than anyone I'd met. So through those training flights, remember, I sang to you. I'll sing to you now, lady. What do I sing? What can I remember?
Never end.
Oh, Mother, I want to talk to you.
Oh, look, there's Mrs. Jameson.
Mother, I have something rather important to say.
You are ill. What I said before...
No, Mother, I'm in excellent health. In fact, the examining doctor seemed rather surprised at my lack of disabilities.
Examining doctor?
Yes.
Examination for what, Edward?
Naval aviation.
Are you serious?
Yes. I've been wanting to tell you for the last few days. Somehow, here, now, I'm able to say it. The fact of the matter is, I leave for the coast a week from today.
Why, Edward? Why are you doing this to me?
No, not to you. To myself. I've thought it all out. I'm doing it.
We're not at war yet.
Someone else said that to me this afternoon.
We're not at war.
We are, Mother. We've been at war ever since that first Japanese walked into Manchuria. We've been at war since Mussolini started to blackjack and castor oil free men into his way of doing. We've been at war since that first bullet made in Germany hit some workman's wife in Madrid.
So it's still that.
Yes. Sooner or later, we will have to fight. And I want to be ready.
Well, this is hardly the place. We'll talk about it when we get home.
No, Mother. Talk it out now, here. There's no more evading it.
All right. Then listen to me. I won't let you make a fool of yourself. You're a composer, an artist. Not a soldier. You have no sense of duty to me. At least have that obligation to your art. Edward, your wonderful talents. Surely they're more important to the world than anything else you might do. Even if there should be a war, think how more important and necessary you are as an artist than as a soldier. Edward, there are thousands of men who can carry that gun. But who could replace your musical talents?
All right. You've said it clearly. The concert's going to begin again, so... I'll say it quickly, because once I've said this, there'll be no more to talk about.
Oh, but Edward, you...
No, you've said it all, Mother, very clearly. I'm a composer, an artist. And so my first duty should be to my art. And what is my art? To write music. But what sort of music? Is it, as Professor Bergman said, music to lift men's souls in times of need, to awaken them to a fuller life? No. In a world where freedom-loving men need each other's strength, I've been writing charming music. Little, tinkling, airy bits meant for a world at peace and at ease. Mother, I don't fit into this world in these times as an artist. I've got no right to exist as an artist. What can my sort of art do to stop the gangsters? Nothing. Nothing at all. All right. And I've got to stop being that artist and do something, anything that I can do to win the fight. Because until that fight is won, there'll be no place for art unrelated to the struggle for a world of international decency. Mother, I've said it as clearly as I can, as clearly as I've thought it out all these weeks. In this world, in this time, the right to exist for any one of us must be determined from the standpoint of exactly what each of us is doing in a war that's as much the artist's and the businessman's and the scientist's and the housewife's
as it is the soldiers. Understand, Mother. Try to understand. Try to understand. Yes, Mother. Understand. Lady! Lady! Yes, lady. You're right. Time to go down.
Just heard Night Flight, written by Arch Obler and directed by Bob McGinnis.
The AFRA Refresher Course Workshop of the Air on Tuned to Yesterday from November 8, 1946. And so ends This Hour of Drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.